Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said to them, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you are our strength and our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Be with us this day and always. Make us die to our sinful inclinations. Write your word upon our hearts, renew our weary souls, and strengthen us against every evil, that we may speak your truth boldly and with love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I need to begin by saying happy Labor Day weekend. And thank you. Thank you for being here today, for allowing God to draw you near through worship, for coming to hear his word and receive Holy Communion. It is not just a happy coincidence that you are here today. God has called you here today to worship with joy. So thank you. Thank you for answering his call. And you know, it truly is a joy to be here, worshiping as a developing mission congregation. In many ways, we don't look like most other churches, but that can actually be a good thing. For example, in a small mission congregation like ours, you cannot disappear. In larger, more established congregations, you can, if you so choose, get lost in all the hustle and bustle of church-sponsored programs and events. If you want, in a large congregation, you can miss a few or more Sundays of worship, or Sunday school, or Bible study, and often no one will notice. Sometimes you can fly right off the radar without raising any alarms. Not so in a small congregation. In a small congregation, there is no place to hide. When you miss a Sunday at Joy, we miss you a lot. And if you miss several Sundays, you can count on getting a call or a text or maybe even a visit. Small congregations are a community. They truly feel like the family of God. We account for one another, and we care for one another. In small congregations, as in the whole kingdom of God, every single person is important. Everyone matters. The Holy Spirit gathers everyone into the church for a reason. We all have some gift to share, some blessing to bestow that is essential to the work of the church. And that work is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Christians, sharing the gospel is our vocation. And we all have occupations, jobs, or careers, all things that we do to make a living. This is the work that we choose to do, these careers, occupations, and jobs. But a vocation is different. A vocation is literally, it means a calling. A calling. And in the case of our Christian vocation, that call comes from God. Each of us, when we were baptized, became children of God. We did not choose the Christian vocation for ourselves. It was chosen for us. Jesus chose each of us, and he calls each of us to follow him. And this call defines not only who we are as children of God, but how we live our lives. We can never not be a Christian. In baptism, we were signed, sealed, and delivered to the world to do the work that Christ calls us to do, to share his gospel in both word and deed. This is our Christian vocation, our true purpose in life. St. Paul urges us and all Christians to live into this Christian vocation. To walk, he writes, in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. So what's the problem then? Why do we, like all Christians in every size congregation of every denomination all over the world, often find it difficult to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called? Why doesn't the whole world look at the church and see us always living out that Christian vocation faithfully? Walking together as one with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The answer lies in one little word, and we all know it well, sin. If it weren't for sin, the hope of our Christian vocation would be a reality. All the earth would be united in faith. Every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We could all live in unity and peace under one Lord, with one faith, by one baptism, and always to give glory to God, the one Father of all, who is over all and in all. But because of sin, we are divided, driven apart, and defiled. And believe it or not, it is not the sins of others that cause us the most difficulty. Jesus explained the problem of sin in this way. He said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man and woman, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Even when we want to fulfill our Christian vocation perfectly, even if that is our heart's desire, we cannot. Jesus himself says so. But just because we cannot attain perfection doesn't mean that we should give up, abandon our call. We are not without hope. Remember, we are baptized. Our sin does not define us, but our identity in Christ. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with that cross of Christ forever. Sin may still run amok in our hearts from time to time, or even all the time. But Jesus Christ has claimed us as his own. We belong to him. The Father has made us his children. The Holy Spirit has gifted and empowered us. Jesus Christ has called us and every day walks with us. And there is no sin, none at all, too shameful, no iniquity too great, that Christ has not already forgiven us. We are free in Christ. We are strengthened by his might, and we are equipped to fight against our own sin and against all the forces of evil in the world. I'll bet you had no idea you were so powerful in the Holy Spirit. For as St. Paul writes, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Even in the heavenly places, there's evil and forces of darkness. I didn't catch that until right now, and I read it, and I said, whoa, no wonder we're in such bad shape here. It's everywhere, but so is Christ. Have you been hurt or wronged by someone? Has sin cut you deep? Have you wandered away feeling forgotten or alone? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Dejection, division, and defilement are the work of the devil. And nothing makes him happier than to spread lies, stir up discontent, and split up the family of God. So don't let him. If you've been hurt, forgive as Christ forgives you. If you've been rejected, welcome one another with Christ-like love. Do not be a victim of sin and evil. Take up that whole armor of God and stand firm. Take Paul's advice. He writes, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Jesus Christ and his salvation, that is our truth. Put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness as your defense. No, we're not perfect. No one is. But by grace, through faith in Christ, we are clothed in his perfection, in his righteousness. There is no place for guilt or shame or unforgiveness in the Lord's workforce. Paul writes, as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In other words, and this is another hard saying, be eager to walk up to your enemy and extend forgiveness. You may be rebuffed, but at least you have been faithful. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Do not allow the devil to make you relive, rehearse, and revisit past hurts. Trust in Jesus. Think on all he has done and is doing for you. You are his new creation. Also, take hold of the helmet of salvation. Let your freedom in Christ guard your thoughts and protect you from the devil's mental assault of schemes and lies. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For as it is written in the book of Hebrews, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is our defense, our weapon, our sword. It protects us from danger and harm. Lastly, as Paul writes, remember to pray at all times. Keep alert and always, always persevere. We are small and we're sinners, everyone, but still we have important work to do. We have a vocation to fulfill. Our Lord Jesus has called us, and in him, we are significant. We are strong. We are saved. and by his power we will succeed. Thanks be to God.